morning. Welcome in the name of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A song that's been my favorite since I first heard it done at Brentwood Methodist Church in Nashville by one of the co-writers. It blesses me every time I hear it. It blesses me every time I sing it. And Susie keeps giving me a chance to get it right. Thank you, Miss Nancy. Let's sing.
Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Again, we're looking at the events surrounding Jesus' birth and the events of Advent through the lens of Matthew's gospel. And we're considering these things as Matthew sees them and as he tells us about them. Last week, if you'll remember, we looked at how we're supposed to wait appropriately. We're not to be too focused on the future and lose sight of the present, nor are we to be too focused on the present and lose sight of the future. We've got to hold both of those things in proper balance. And today, we're going to take a look at how we prepare and what this sense of preparation looks like. We already started talking about that some last week, and we'll kind of see that a little more fully today. So, if you will, listen with me to the words of Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the desert of Judea, announcing, "Change your hearts and lives. Here comes the kingdom of heaven." He was the one of whom Isaiah the prophet spoke when he said, "The voice of one shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make his paths straight." John wore clothes made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. People from Jerusalem, throughout Judea, and all around the Jordan River came to him. As they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. Many Pharisees and Sadducees came to be baptized by John. He said to them, "You children of snakes, who warned you to escape from the angry judgment that is coming soon? Produce fruit that shows you have changed your hearts and lives. And don't even think about saying to yourselves, 'Abraham is our father.' I tell you that God is able to raise up Abraham's children from these stones. The axe is already at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that doesn't produce good fruit will be chopped down and tossed into the fire. I baptize with water those of you who have changed your hearts and lives. The one who is coming after me is stronger than I am. I'm not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The shovel he uses to sift the wheat from the husks is in his hands. He will clean out his threshing area and bring the wheat into his barn. But he will burn the husks with the fire that cannot be put out." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we thank you again for this day that you've given to us, for this season of Advent. We pray that you would help us to continue to prepare and to be prepared. Lord, we thank you for the reading and the hearing of this your word, and we pray that the words you have given me would be yours and not mine. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to understand, and may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be faithful to your call upon us. And we ask all these things Christ's name. Amen. Preparation is something that we are always doing to some degree or another. We are always preparing for something. Daily, we are preparing ourselves for things that are going to take place, right? Maybe we have a to-do list that we work on. Sometimes we are preparing for things that are going to happen that day. At other times, we're preparing for things that are coming down a week from now or maybe a month or a year. But there's always a sense of preparation that we are busy with to some degree or another. And today, we are called to, I think, what is a very pressing kind of preparation. This preparation is to enter into the wilderness and to encounter a man who frightens and at times disgusts us, and that man is John the Baptist. As we prepare to enter into the wilderness, we know that entering the wilderness means leaving the safety of our homes, the safety of the organization and the order of a city, as well as our lives. You see, the wilderness for Israel represents chaos. It represents disorder. It's that time in their history where they wandered for 40 years. And so it's not a favorite place for them. Often the wilderness represented those on the margins of society, those that we would rather choose to forget than to come alongside and to help. And John the Baptist, in his proclamation from this wilderness place, is identifying with those people. I like to think myself a fairly prepared person. Like many of you, I have things that I always keep with me to be prepared for things that may happen. I carry a pocket knife pretty regular, right? A lot of us probably carry a pocket knife to some degree or another. I always have my watch on me so I know if I'm keeping you long or if I'm letting you out on time, which I'll disregard today, right? Who cares? Let's just have fun. Wallet, right? You've got your wallet with your money and credit cards and identification and things of that nature. Chapstick is something I always carry with me. You're welcome, Abby. It was a thinker. I knew it was going to take a few minutes. I often have my computer bag with me, right? And in my computer bag, of course, I have my computer. I've got different chargers. I've got pens. I've got cough drops, especially for this time of the season. I've always got those types of things, and I'm always prepared. In my pockets, in my robe, I've got some cough drops, and I've got a handkerchief, and all those types of things. I like to be prepared for what may come. Many of us probably have tools in our cars or our trucks, right? Various things that we've needed from time to time. It never ceases to amaze me, but every Christmas, my mom gets me some kind of car emergency thing. I've got something that can cut my seatbelt if I need to. I've got something that I can break the window with. I've got a little crank radio. Apparently, there's only danger when I'm in the car. I've got a blanket, I think, or I used to have one. I don't even remember. I've got them all in my car, and I'm ready to use them if I remember how to use them at a moment's notice. Yet regardless of how prepared we may be, I want to remind us today and tell us that we are always surprised, and we are never ready to receive Jesus when he shows up, because Jesus always catches us off guard. He never shows up in a way that we are prepared for. As much as we like to think we're prepared, he never does that. John the Baptist is a prime example of this. Here we have Jesus showing up through the ministry of John the Baptist, the voice of the one calling out in the wilderness, as Isaiah tells us. John the Baptist, I'm pretty sure I told you this last year, I'm going to tell you again, he's a lot like Cousin Eddie from Christmas Vacation. Everyone know what movie I'm talking about? Wonderful Christmas movie. I hope you get a chance to watch it and repent of that later. Cousin Eddie is that person in the family who always says the wrong thing at the wrong time. He's tacky. He's bothersome. He is annoying, and he sticks out like a sore thumb. He's the part of the family we'd rather keep hidden, and yet he always shows up. And I guarantee you, you all are preparing this Christmas for your Cousin Eddie to show up. And if you're not, then somebody's preparing for you to show up. In verse 2, John the Baptist, Cousin Eddie, comes on the scene, and he says, "Change your hearts and your lives. Here comes the kingdom of heaven." This is a message for everyone. He is not singling out those people who we think need to hear the message, but he is telling this to everyone. Change. Be prepared for God's kingdom. And people are coming to the wilderness from all around to hear this crazy guy telling them to change everything, to be ready for the Messiah. And if we're honest with ourselves this morning, how many of us want to believe that if Jesus showed up right now, he'd say, "Man, you're doing a great job. Keep it up." That's what we want to think. We want to think that if he showed up, he'd just pat us on the back and say, keep doing what you're doing. All of us, like the rich young ruler, want to come to Jesus and say, "Look at how good of a Christian I am." Right? And what does Jesus tell the rich young ruler? "You only lack one thing. Give away all your possessions to the poor and follow me." And he walks away sad. And I wonder how many of us in our preparation this morning would walk away sad if we came with the expectation that Jesus would simply pat us on the back and say, good job. We'd all like to think that John's command here to change doesn't apply to me. It doesn't apply to me. I show up to church every week. I'm a good Christian. I don't say mean things to other people when they can hear it. I got a lot of thinkers this morning. No, this command is for those people who don't think or behave or act like I do. The people that aren't here this morning. We know who they are, because we've probably already noticed their absence. But who does John the Baptist call the snakes in this passage? He doesn't say it to the poor, the marginalized, the destitute who are coming for help, who are coming because they want the kingdom of heaven to come soon. No, he's speaking to the religious elite. He's speaking to those who are in church every Sunday. He's speaking to those who are prepared, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And we see very quickly in verse 7 that they are not prepared at all like they thought they were. And so this begs the question for us this morning. What does it mean to be prepared? What does this look like for us? John the Baptist very simply tells us in verse 8, produce fruit. That's it. Produce fruit. This will show that you have changed your hearts and your lives. And I know what some of you are thinking, well, what does this fruit look like? Matthew doesn't seem to tell us right here what this fruit is. Well, he tells us in verse 11, chapter 5. Interestingly enough, John the Baptist at this time in verse 11, or chapter 11, has been arrested. And he's in prison. And his disciples are sent by John to Jesus to say, are you the one who is to come, or is there another? Not even John the Baptist is prepared to receive Jesus. And Jesus tells them in chapter 11, verse 5, tell John that the blind see, the lame walk, those who are unclean have been made clean, the deaf hear, and the poor have good news proclaimed to them. This is the fruit that John is talking about. The fruit of a changed heart and life means loving God and others, and it means doing for them. Coming alongside those in need instead of ignoring them because we're not prepared or because we have other plans. And are we prepared to do that this morning? Are we ready to help someone who is in need? Are we prepared to put our plans on hold so that someone else might receive a blessing from God? Now, I share the same burden as you do in this Christmas Advent season of a lot of plans. A lot of things are going on. Am I prepared to put this plan aside when something comes up? When someone needs me and needs to hear about Jesus? Am I prepared to say, you know what, I guess I'm going to have to move this over here to another time, another place? Sure, preacher, we're prepared. Well, it's coming. It's going to happen. Are we prepared for the inconveniences that are Jesus showing up in our lives? In our desire to be prepared for anything, we must humbly admit this morning that we are never prepared for Jesus when he shows up. We're never ready. We're never prepared. Because we think he's going to do one thing and he does something completely different. Yet in his grace, by his mercies, and because of his love, when he shows up in those ways that we are unprepared for, Jesus will equip us to help the blind see. He will equip us to help the lame walk, the deaf to hear, the unclean to be cleaned, and he will give us the words of good news to proclaim to the poor. The best way we can be prepared today is to simply follow Jesus. Follow Jesus and be prepared to take life as it comes, knowing that Jesus will give us what is necessary when the time comes, knowing that Jesus will give us the words to say, and more often than not, simply the words not to say and the actions merely to do, so that others may experience the peace of Christ, so that others may know that Christ loves them as much as he loves us. The peace of Christ means very little if we can't show it, and if we can't make it a reality in the lives of those we encounter, whoever they may be, wherever they may come from, however they may receive it. Ours is the task of being prepared. To not be prepared, but to receive God's equipping when the time comes. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for everything you do for us. Lord, we don't always understand it. We don't know how to prepare for it. We don't know what it's going to look like, but you do. In this Advent season of waiting and hoping, may we recognize when you show up in inconvenient ways, because that's how you always do it. Because what is inconvenient to us is the perfect moment for your grace to shine through. Forgive us for not seeing that, and help us to claim it the next time we encounter you. We ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen.